Today's sermon was prepared by Pastor Harold. You can follow along with your worship bulletin. There's an outline there. The sermon today is entitled Genuine Joy, based on John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31, but specifically verse 20. Jesus said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. In many churches, it used to be a matter of long discussion. More than a few folks had strong opinions on both sides of the issue. The issue? Whether to have a cross or a crucifix over the altar. Those in favor of an empty cross said that we are an Easter people. Jesus is risen. We should focus on that as our source of joy and not dwell on his suffering and death. Those in favor of a crucifix, a cross with Jesus' body still on it, argue that Christ crucified is the very foundation of all we believe. Without the crucifixion and the defeat of sin, death, and devil by that cross, Easter joy would not be authentic joy. On which side of the issue do you find yourself? We'll talk about this more in today's sermon. Suffice it to say for now, when you and I look above our altar here, we see an artist's rendition of a crucifix, Jesus on the cross. Note in this stylized cross, we are shown both his death and resurrection, as his nailed hands and the crossbeam are pointed upward. For me, this special cross is a source of genuine joy. And that is precisely the title of today's sermon, Genuine Joy. Let's talk about the genuine joy that we all can have based on what happened to Jesus on the cross. Today is the Sunday after Easter, a famous or perhaps infamous Sunday. The huge and festive Easter crowd has been transformed into a more typical Sunday. Yet we give thanks that so many were here last Sunday to hear of Jesus' resurrection victory. This Sunday, we discuss what happened just after that first Easter Sunday. In each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the accounts of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances each show a similar pattern. Note in your outline number 1b. First, there is fear and sorrow due to Jesus' death. This is followed by joy over an encounter with the risen Jesus. Next comes a confession of faith by the one who witnessed Jesus' appearance. Finally, that person is asked by Jesus to be a witness of his resurrection. Fear leads to joy, leads to faith, leads to witness. We see this pattern when Mary Magdalene meets the resurrected Jesus, first thinking him to be the gardener. We see this pattern when Jesus meets the unnamed disciples on the road to Emmaus. We see this pattern when Jesus appears to the disciples in the upper room. We see this pattern when Jesus comes to the upper room a second time to appear to Thomas. Fear, joy, faith, witness. The gospel reading for today conforms to this pattern. The disciples were in the upper room. They were afraid. Jesus appeared in their midst and said, "Peace be unto you. Shalom aleichem." John does not record any reaction from the disciples at this point. It is only after they see the crucifixion wounds on Jesus' hands and side, that they expressed their joy. Verse 20 says, "He then showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord." Reading further in today's gospel lesson, in this same chapter, St. John retells the account of Thomas. Thomas was not there in the upper room the first time Jesus appeared to the other disciples. We may assume he was grieving over his master's death and was alone with his grief. But when he did rejoin the others, Jesus came again, as if he made a special trip just for Thomas. This should be a special encouragement to any of us today with doubts, fears, or sorrows. Along with his sorrows and doubts, Thomas was unbelieving. Jesus appeared to him in that same upper room where he had earlier come to the other disciples. Jesus gave Thomas the same greeting he had given the others. Peace be unto you. Shalom aleichem. After Jesus showed Thomas his crucifixion wounds, Thomas' sorrows and doubts and unbelief changed to faith and real joy. Listen to Thomas' confession of faith and joy as he addresses Jesus in verse 28. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." On a side note, besides being a wonderful confession of newfound faith and joy, Thomas' confession is a superb statement of doctrine and theology. The entire theme of the Gospel of John is the answer to the question, who is this Jesus? Here in Thomas' confession, we have the high point of John's Gospel and the answer to the question, who is Jesus? He is our Lord and our God. He is the second person of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is Almighty God, come to our earth in human flesh to be our Savior, dying on a cross and rising from a tomb to give us eternal victory over sin, death, and the devil. When both the other disciples and then Thomas saw the crucifixion wounds on the risen Jesus, they had great joy. They had genuine joy. We might expect that seeing the wounds of Jesus' crucifixion would fill them with shame as they considered the horror of what had happened to him. We might expect that seeing the wounds of Jesus' crucifixion would fill them with bitter memories of their own betrayal, denial, and abandonment of Jesus when he needed them most. Why would John record that seeing Jesus' wounds brought the disciples genuine joy? You see, the crucifixion wounds were not the only thing that the disciples saw and experienced that day. As they looked at the crucifixion wounds, they heard Jesus' voice speak words of reconciliation. Peace be unto you. His presence told them he was alive, not dead, and that he had come to them because he loved them still. Jesus' wounds are clear and wonderful signs of his love for the disciples, for you, for me. Biographers of Martin Luther, the leader of the Reformation of the Church in the early 1500s, tell of the reformer kneeling before a crucifix one day, all alone by the altar. Tears of joy fell down Luther's face as he looked upon the wounded Jesus. Luther cried out, "For me, for me." The crucifixion wounds were for him a dramatic demonstration of how much Jesus loved him. Those wounds brought Luther a kind of genuine joy. In a small way, this experience, and much more so, the abundant testimony of Holy Scripture about the cross, has made our Lutheran Church a church that focuses on what Jesus did for all people on the cross. This is especially important these days when the world around us and even some churches are denying the cross and what Jesus did there. For now, just one of many Bible passages will do. St. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Jesus Christ and him crucified for the sins of the world. is the very foundation of the Christian faith. And as a result, it is the very foundation of what we are about here as Trinity Lutheran Church. This is the reason that I point to this crucifix, Jesus on this cross above our altar, in almost every sermon and children's message. It was true for those disciples in the upper room. It was true for Martin Luther. It is true for us. Jesus' crucifixion wounds bring us genuine joy. How many of you here have ever been to the Holy Land to walk where Jesus walked? I have not. But many pastors have. One pastor named Norman used to talk about his trip to the Holy Land and what happened to him when he visited the site of Calvary, the place Jesus was crucified. Overwhelmed by a sense of God's holy presence, this pastor looked up and prayed, "Lord, if you did this for me, you shouldn't have. I'm not worth it." Then the pastor explained, "Deep in my mind and heart, I know God spoke to me. In response to my, 'I'm not worth it,' he said, 'You are worth it to me, Norman.'" The pastor said it was a powerful experience of God's love and that it changed his ministry permanently. As it was true for the disciples in the upper room, as it was true for Thomas 1 week later, as it was true for Martin Luther, for a pastor named Norman, it is true for you and me today, the one who knows us better than we know ourselves, the one who is aware of every betrayal and denial and failure in our lives, nevertheless comes to us and offers peace and reconciliation. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. Today we have spoken of a genuine joy based on the cross of Jesus. More than a few hymns have been written on this same topic. Listen now to the words of Isaac Watts' great hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to my God. See from his hands, his head, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." This then expresses Isaac Watts' own kind of genuine joy. I pray that it expresses yours as well. In the name of Jesus, amen.